Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Ballet may look glamorous and effortless to audience members, but it requires grueling discipline. It is competitive and physically and mentally demanding career that combines elite athleticism, artistry, and performance. As a principal ballerina with the New York City Ballet, not to mention a mother of three and a recent MBA graduate from NYU Stern School of Business, Megan Fairchild is all too familiar with these challenges. In her new book, The Ballerina Mindset, How to Protect Your Mental Health While Striving for Excellence, she shares what she's learned from her nearly two-decade career, drawing upon her own experience to reveal how she learned to overcome everything from stage fright and negative feedback to a packed calendar and weight management. It's a great pleasure to welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
All right. First question that I ask anyone of your name. Is it Megan? Megan?
Megan.
Megan. Okay. welcome. Very nice to have you with us. So what brought you to want to write the book?
I am the type of person that would never assume that I'm a specialist on anything. But when I went to Broadway away from the ballet bubble that I was in at New York City Ballet, I realized how kind of misconstrued people's perceptions of a ballet dancer's life were. And so I started a podcast called Ask Megan, really geared towards young dancers and their moms to kind of demystify the industry. And about 4 years ago now, an editor at Penguin was listening to my podcast and it helped her run a marathon. And so she wrote me on Instagram and she was like, hey, I think you have some really universal advice here. So we got together and fleshed out 10 different life lessons that I've learned over my career that we thought would be also helpful to others in a universal way. And the rest is history.
Let's talk about, I mean, this term is used in the subtitle of the book, but how to protect your mental health. Why is mental health such an aspect? I mean, not just for your profession, but really for all of us. And something that is often, as we have found out during the last 2 years in this pandemic, is often quite overlooked.
I think if you have not, you know, put in your work to protect your mental health and to do any self-care behind the scenes from whatever your job is, you're not going to perform at your best level, you know? So making that, you know, a focal point of your time outside of your work is super important. And as a ballet dancer, you know, the focus cannot easily be so much about what it just looks like on the outside. And are you physically able to accomplish this step? And do you look better than the person next to you? And over time, I realized that I was never going to be able to execute well live on stage in front of thousands of people if I didn't have a good head game in place. So that's what I've really ended up taking a major focus on. And for me, meditation was super helpful. But, you know, it's something different for everybody. It's just about allowing yourself that time to take care of yourself and address it and say, like, I need to fix something here like this. I'm not happy or whatever it is.
One of the points that you make about, you know, just dealing with these feelings that you have, and often it's anxiety, and you talk about failure, and the thing that you tell us in the book is that, okay, but failure isn't permanent. You do like, whether you like it or not, life is more forgiving than that, and you get second chances.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, when you're young and everything is, you know, the first time you're approaching something, you're want more than anything to just for it to happen easily.
Sure.
And you know, that's just truly not the case. We're human beings. We make mistakes. We have to go through learning experiences to understand anything properly. And that's what experience is. So all of those, you know, failed attempts or tries where it wasn't quite perfect, those are what end up helping you understand what it takes to actually execute something really well consistently. And you know, it's my job as a ballet dancer is to go out there and just like curtain goes up and punch it out and get it done for them. And no matter what's going on in your head that day. So I've kind of become a master. We ballet dancers, it's what we do, is learning how to manage those emotions and making sure that you're able to execute on demand. So it's super important.
How different, I mean, obviously you make this book of taking a ballerina mindset and to using it into all of our lives, and I certainly understand that. Where do you think things differ of that world, if you will, of how punishing it is. I mean, I would think that almost everyone in that profession would hope that it wouldn't be as punishing as it is, or is that what makes it so good?
You know, I think we always say to each other, if this wasn't as hard as it is, we probably wouldn't be interested in it. I think it has, it's attracted a group of people that like the day-to-day challenge that it is to be a ballet dancer. So, and also something that happens for us that you quickly learn in a career as a ballet dancer is that the work is never ending. It's not like, oh, I've performed this, you know, this ballet in front of these people, I never have to work on it again. It's like, no, you actually, before your next show, you're going to go back in the studio the next day and edit even more and analyze and fix even more. And the process is truly never over. And I talk about that in my book. There's this one moment where I thought I'd finally perform something to the satisfaction of my mentor. And they came backstage and they were like, now we need to work on your bow.
Like, oh man. Yeah. And you said, oh my God, but I mean, you know, do you take that as, oh, okay, let's do it. Or do you have a moment of like, really?
Yeah, back then I was like, really? But now I know that it is the whole picture that we're painting is important. It's not just one step here or there that I find challenging. And if I execute those, that's good enough. It's like, and you start to have to learn to love that part of the process, that it's a never ending pursuit. And, but it took a while to get there. I was like, wasn't that enough? Like, you're now you're just trying to please the people at the front of the room. And eventually a certain amount of it gets easy enough that you can continue to push and find new things and you want to grow as an artist.
So, I mean, now you're back with the New York City Ballet and the fall season. And what has it been like performing since the pandemic?
That first show back, I got to be on stage for the final ballet of our first night back. And when we hit our final pose, it's a big ballet, Symphony in C, with almost all of the dancers on the stage. I burst into tears in my final pose, and I had no idea I had that much pent-up emotion after all of this time. I mean, it was a year and a half of us feeling non-essential to the world and hearing the roar of the audience, that connection that we can share when we hear their feedback like that. I didn't realize I'd been waiting to hear that for a year and a half. And so it's just meant more than anything for us that people still want to come and see the ballet, that it's important in their lives, because it will always be important in our lives.
And now you're doing Nutcracker, right? And that is, I mean, not only a holiday favorite, but it's also something that people, many folks missed last year, where they get to return to a holiday tradition.
Yeah, and for us, it's a holiday tradition, too. It's been a big part of our lives since we were, like, 9 years old as dancers. You know, most of us have been in the Nutcracker since we were young kids. So to miss a year of that, it just felt, like, surreal. And it's just so nice to be part of people's holiday tradition again. It's a wonderful way for us to feel that we're connected with the community. Like, you know, it's hard day in and day out to do the same kind of roll over and over again that Nutcracker is. It gets kind of exhausting, but when you know that you're, you know, becoming part of people's holiday season, that's something that really inspires me.
And I mentioned this in the introduction, but you're also a recent graduate from NYU's Stern School of Business. When did that come into something that you wanted to do on top of everything else? And oh, by the way, you have three small children.
Well, I'm not a graduate yet. I'm halfway through. But
okay.
Thanks for, you know, believing in me.
If I had the power, Megan, I'd do what I could.
No, you know, throughout my career, it can be very stressful as a dancer when the casting goes up and feeling that pressure, like, does the boss want me to dance? Am I, like, going to be, you know, wanted? And so early on, to take the pressure off of that, I started going to college. And lots of dancers now do it, but back then it wasn't as many people doing that. And it was just for me a way to offset the pressure of what I was doing in the theater. Like, if I didn't get cast in something, then I was a little bit less, you know, like if I had the school as a backup, I was like, well, I still have this to do. And so I just always kind of chipped away at my undergrad. And then once that was over, I graduated with a math econ degree. An MBA was kind of the natural graduate school to go to. And I just really enjoy school. So I wanted to continue my education. I want to do something important in my industry when I'm done. And so studying management is something that I think could be really useful in the ballet world.
Did that, was that helped along by the pandemic, that gave you some extra time to do that as well?
Not so much, because it was all suddenly on Zoom. And a big part of business school is, you know, the class discussions.
Right.
And so I continued to do it through the pandemic, but I didn't go into overdrive because I didn't want to miss out on the in-person experience. So I'm back in it now, and I'm so happy to be able to, you know, riff off of other people's comments. And I love that experience, that part of school.
I'm not looking to go deep into this. I'm just curious of your sort of cursory thoughts on it. But, you know, New York City Ballet was in turmoil prior to COVID. And I mean, that adds to the anxiety, too, doesn't it?
You know, I think that we've always felt really well supported by our board. So while we have had a change of directors and some, you know, Me Too nonsense, you might say, we've always just continued the same kind of work. So there, you know, that's been there, but it hasn't distracted us. And I think we know we've always been in good hands.
Yeah. It doesn't change how you approach things, your day. It doesn't affect your day-to-day work.
Yeah. No, not at all. I mean, you know, the person in the front of the room that matters changed, but it was the person that's in charge now, John Stafford. He was already a big part of the company, so we made a pretty smooth transition.
In making just transitions all over of you know, if one thing that we've learned during the pandemic is pivoting and figuring other things out, and that's why this book is so helpful of getting us to that mindset. And when you look at even with a degree when graduated, and the career and the family, I mean, how do you see things going forward for you?
You know, getting an MBA, at first I was thinking, yeah, I need an MBA because I need to completely pivot. I want to do maybe something in finance, or I was like trying to like recreate my next job. And I realize now I have such unique knowledge of this ballet industry that not that many people get to the level that I'm at with the experience and knowledge that I have. So now I really know my true worth is to stay in this field and maybe be a director of a company or a school someday would be an absolute dream come true. That's kind of the next goal, is to take what I've learned and you know, kind of pay it forward in that kind of management setting.
And that's often what's done, right? I mean, it's to then move to teaching.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, go ahead.
It is. But most dancers, I think the backup plan is always to teach. And I'm like, you know, I love teaching. I think I'm really good at being a ballet teacher. But I've already, you know, I've spent the last 20 years figuring out those little secrets. And like, I don't want to spend the next 20 years just relaying them as much as I want to, like, guide an organization as well. I need a greater challenge than just a teacher. And I love teaching, and I'll probably always teach, but I want a little more of a challenge. And the other thing that's different, though, is that none of the people that have gone on to lead a school or a company have had the education that I'm having. I think a lot more dancers are getting educated than ever before. And I think that only goes to serve the industry in the future and hopefully give us a bright future ahead of us.
Having the education that you have and going in the direction you've gone in and given your stature in the ballet world, what does that say about the arts and where they're headed, do you think?
I just think we're kind of a force to be reckoned with, you know.
Well, we knew that.
One thing that dancers have on most of the rest of, you know, society is that discipline. Like, they can focus down and get something done. And then you add a really good education on top of that. I think that we're unstoppable. And it doesn't mean that we always have to stay in this industry. Dancers can go on to pivot into many other things. I know that some are doctors, lawyers now. There's just a lot lot of opportunities you have when you get an education while you're dancing. So it's a wonderful thing when that gets to happen.
And, you know, you were talking about the tears that came that the bow when you returned and that pent up emotion. But something you didn't realize as it was happening. I mean, obviously you missed it, I would assume.
I did. But, you know, I really used the pan. I'm a positive person. So while I was very frustrated to not get a paycheck, I was also like, okay, let's practice being retired. Like, do you have other things that interest you? You know?
Yeah. Practice that. Sure.
Yeah, because it's going to happen someday. Someday I'm not going to be able to put my point shoes on and go do this because my body's going to say no. And so am I ready for that? Like, do I have other things set up that bring me joy? You know, it's really important to me.
Well, the name of the book is The Ballerina Mindset, How to Protect Your Mental Health While Striving for Excellence. It is out in paperback from Penguin. Megan Fairchild, I thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program, and I wish you a beautiful holiday season, continued beautiful performances, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Be well. Again, the name of the book, The Ballerina Mindset, How to Protect Your Mental Health While Striving for Excellence. The book is published by Penguin. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.